Shalom. This is Billy Brim and the Voice of One Witness Radio broadcast coming to you today from Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks near Branson, Missouri. And we have some wonderful guests with us. We have Johanna Verneau. That's a French name because her husband was French-speaking from the French-speaking part of Switzerland. And then we have their daughter, Liliane Rude, who has lived many years in Belgium, but grew up in the Congo.
Yes, I did.
Where her parents had founded a wonderful church that is very vibrant and very alive. Now, with me is her mother, and with us is Johanna Verneau. And I guess it was September 28th, just 2011, when Brother Verneau moved to heaven. But I also have here, I forgot to tell you, our always engineer and my grandson, Brandon. And Brandon is, what, 23 now?
Yes, 23.
And I noticed that yesterday you were in the front seat with Johanna Verneau, and you were all ears when she described how she and her husband came to know each other and fall in love, because it is so supernatural and proves that you can follow God. Mr. Verneau, Jacques Verneau, was born 1932 to his parents who were missionaries in Gabon. And he was born in Albert Schweitzer's, Dr. Albert Schweitzer's hospital in 1932, November. Now, here he is. He lives in the middle of Africa. And, you know, there aren't many girls there for him. And here you are. You grew up where?
I grew up in the Netherlands.
You grew up in the Netherlands. And as I understand, I know you, your heart has always been for Israel. Describe what you did in the war years when the Nazis were occupying the Netherlands.
Well, during the time when the Nazis came, taking the Jews, to bring the Jews to the camps in Germany, Jews came flying over the roofs of the houses, and they came to our house. She knew she were not accepted everywhere, but she knew that at our house she were accepted. And my parents were hiding them.
Oh, your parents hid Jews?
Yes, well, they came in and we...
They were fleeing from the Germans that were going from house to house. Mm-hmm. And two men went from house to house through the window, through the roof, because the houses are attached in
Holland. Yes, they are in Holland.
And so they were fleeing, and they were wanting to see who could hide them.
I see.
People did not want to hide them, because people were afraid to be taken by the Gestapo.
Yes, otherwise we are killed.
And they came into my grandmother's house, my mother's house.
And then, because it was not secure, the Jewish community asked us to bring them in the evening somewhere else. And that was there was no lights on, everything was dark because of the
blackouts.
Yes, mm-hmm. No, not the blackouts, that was for the...
Curfew.
Yes, special. And for the bombs were not falling, for the RAF from England was coming in.
And bombing, so you had to have a blackout, you had to turn the lights
off. Yes, everything. And
the Royal Air Force from Britain was coming in pursuit of the Nazis.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So, with a little flashlight, we went in the dark. I went with my father, I have two older sisters, but I don't know what happened, but it was me who went to help him, my father, to bring those Jews. And those Jews were on their arms, and she was shaking, yes. And my mother prayed with them when she came in. And, well, the love for Israel was in the heart of my mother, and it was as a young girl also in my heart. It was at that time I was about 13, 14 years old. And when, can I tell, go on? When there were razzias in those big towns as Amsterdam, Rotterdam, she took the Jews from the street and put them in trains. And when I heard about it, I don't know how it happened, but I had in my heart to go to bring them food, because everything was under restriction, even tea and coffee was under restriction. And I went to all the streets asking for help for the prisoners who came through our town, and the train was to stop in our town. It was Zolle. And I asked for food and coffee and tea to bring them. And as I was quite young looking, I bypassed the guest guards on the train station. The Germans even didn't notice me, and I handled out the food to the prisoners.
You have to understand where my mother, Zwolle, was a city where all the trains from the south and the north and the west would come through to go to Germany. Isn't that amazing? And they passed, because I asked my uncle about this, and he explained to me how Zwolle, they would pass through Zwolle. And my mother went door to door with baskets, empty baskets, asking people for food. And she went to the train station, gave those people...
It was just in my heart.
She just did these kind of things. She was very courageous, very brave. And her sisters even told me that she was an exception. She was just, you know.
You were very brave.
Very brave.
I have no doubt the Lord hid you as you took that food.
That's right.
But then you're a young girl and you're growing up. And what, explain to us how you decided to follow God and how he led you. I know Brandon is so interested because he's young and seeking God. How did God lead you is the same way he leads Brandon.
Well, of course, I was saved in the Billy Graham Crusades. And 1 year later, I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. But my sisters were thinking I was not so good Christians, because at that time you had not much lipsticks and things like that.
So you were in the 40s, is that 50s you were saved?
Yeah.
1950s.
Yes,
uh-huh.
In the late 40s.
Late 40s. Late 40s.
Yes, 40, must be 47, 48, because Billy Graham came special to, I was 18, and I was born in
1927.
So that was all 45, I think.
He came just after the war, because to strengthen
the young people home for
to minister,
after,
to, the young
to minister to the young,
young
people.
People.
Yes.
And my brother
the
got saved also under his ministry some months later, by the following up of Billy Graham's ministry.
And then you became baptized with the Holy Spirit.
And I didn't dare to tell my older sisters, because I thought I was not good enough, perhaps. And I hid it for 1 year. So when I wanted to speak in tongues, I went to the closet and was hiding myself and talking with Jesus.
Talking with Jesus.
Then speaking in tongues.
Now, did he begin to lead you for your life?
How
did that happen?
Well, that happened extended family of my father and cousin came from France, who was married to a baroness from France, and they came to France, to Netherlands for holidays. He was Dutch, and she was French, of course. And when she met us, and I was always interested in learning French, I took even private lessons at 9 years old by myself. And so she said, "Well, if you are so interested in learning French, come with us." And my father and mother agreed with that.
So you went to France?
I went to France for holidays, for some weeks. And while I was there, people came and asked me if I want to help their children.
To be a nanny?
And to help them with their German. And English, and even didn't so good English, because in Holland you learn French, English, Dutch, French, German and English. You have to learn that. Oh, I was in a special school for that. And when I was with that family in the south of France, at the ocean, close to Biarritz, that's a well-known city in the south of France, close to the...
Riviera.
Not the other side. Close to Spain.
Yeah.
Close
mm-hmm.
to Spain. Mm-hmm. And... I was seeking the Lord, and I felt lonely, and I said to the Lord, I felt lonely. And then I was praying, I was in my room, I was sitting in my bed, I was not kneeling, but I was sitting in my bed. And while I was in prayer, I didn't have a vision and I didn't have a dream, but the presence of the Lord was in that room on the left side of my bed, and the Lord spoke to me that he called me to the heart of Africa.
Oh, he spoke to you? And how did you hear him?
In my heart.
Inside,
in my heart.
Uh-huh.
And I said, Lord,
He told you, he called you to the heart of Africa?
Yeah, to the heart of Africa. And then I said, Lord, but I wanted to help my father and mother, because my father was in business, but he was more an artist than a businessman, and I wanted to help him.
He was a goldsmith.
Yeah. He was a goldsmith. He was a bijouterie,
jeweler.
And I wanted to help my mother also. And then the Lord said to me, if you love your mother and father more than me, you are not worthy of me. I said, Lord, I want to be worthy of you. And then after that, when I said be worthy of you, he said also, when you, I don't know how exactly who you said it in French, when you put your hand on the plow, then you don't look backwards. Because I was very much, like in Dutch, as like in American citizens, you are very much like the American flag and everything, and I like
very
the Dutch.
Very nationalistic.
I was very Dutch nationalist.
Patriotic.
And the Lord told me to leave my country and to go. And he didn't tell me the name, but he told me 6 years of preparations and to stay in France, to learn French.
He told you, prepare for
six years. And it was the 4th of July when he called me. And it happened that exactly 6 years later, I didn't notice it, but I noticed it later. I left France 6 years later, the 4th of July, 1956. At 9 o'clock in the evening.
So it was exactly
the same to the hour,
to the day and the hour. Mm-hmm. He told you to do 6 years of preparation. Mm-hmm. He told you to study French in France for how long?
Well, he didn't say the years, but after 2 years when I was in France, I couldn't, in between I had many confirmations, and the pastor had told me, I asked him what's to do one of the pass I got to know.
Well, did you tell them that you were called? You did not tell them you were called yet. You had asked God to confirm through the pastor's preaching that Sunday.
Yeah.
And the pastor, while he was praying before the service, the Lord spoke to him. My mom had asked for the pastor to preach on the message of the mantle of Elijah.
On a Sunday morning, I said, Lord, I know that you have called me, but please, can you give me confirmation and give the explanation by the Holy Spirit so I can I can tell the people that you called me. I knew it. They didn't need it for my confirmation, but it wanted confirmation for my...
For other people,
for my
to say to other people, this is what the Lord did for me. She knew she was called.
And then I opened the Bible and I read the calling of the prophet Elijah by the prophet Elijah. And I said, Lord, that is too easy. I don't need the Holy Spirit to make me to understand it. But if this morning the pastor is going to give the explanations, then I can tell the people.
And he chose that passage and he preached on it and your confirmation, your call. So now we're going to be getting with this tomorrow. We'll also go to your husband-to-be in Africa. And we're going to see and examine how God leads. You'll want to listen tomorrow to the very... Many of you out there may be trusting the Lord for leading. Might be a Rhema student graduating. Praise the Lord. We'll be back tomorrow. This is all of us here saying, shalom, 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 until we get back to our love story tomorrow.